Hello and welcome to this week's International Media with me, Claire Broadhurst. Today we'll look into the new media law in Poland and how it has affected journalism there already. But first, let's begin with Asia. In China, the correspondent of the French magazine Le Nouvel Observateur was recently denied a renewal of her visa, prompting her departure from Beijing. Ursula Gauthier was told that her visa was not being renewed because of a story she wrote in November about Chinese counter-terrorism policies. She explains how the whole ordeal feels like she fell into a trap.
I think the Chinese government too was trapped because all this thing was created by the Global Times, and we know that the Global Times is the voice of a very hardcore nationalist tendency inside the Communist Party. So the Global Times put this story immediately at the top. They did two editorials. And then in those editorials, they were really very violent, accusing me of being anti-China, of speaking for the terrorism, and even for ISIS. So they put it at such a level that after that, the government was more or less obliged to take the same position, because otherwise the government would have been obliged to say to one part of the party that you are exaggerating, that is something which never happens publicly.
Gauthier will continue to write on China from Paris and says she might be more inclined to look into press freedom issues from now on. Over to Indonesia now, where the government refused to let French journalist Cyril Payen visit the country following his documentary about West Papua, Indonesia's eastern province, that France 24 broadcast in October. This comes a few months only after Indonesian President Joko Widodo promised to allow foreign reporters to visit West Papua. Sumit Galhotra is the Asia Research Coordinator for the Committee to Protect Journalists. He says there's still a long way to go for openness in Indonesia.
There's been some change, but not that much. A lot of journalists that I spoke to questioned how effective is the president's authority when it comes to this issue, because immediately after he made the announcement in May, there were members of his own government who contradicted his actions and said no, restrictions will continue in some shape or form. And journalists who have since tried to enter the country have still, in some cases, have reported being followed around, surveillance. Some have still been left in visa limbo. So I think first and foremost, the public announcement that the president made in May, while it's a welcome step, it does not go far enough. He needs to follow up with a more specific directive from his office. A written directive would go a long way in furthering this public announcement that he made. So that's certainly one step forward, but also I think there's much work that lies ahead in terms of working with local police, military, to really get the message across that journalists cannot be harassed, they can't be intimidated in the manner that they have for decades.
And now on to our main story for today's magazine. The Polish President Andrzej Duda has signed controversial laws enabling the new conservative government, led by the Law and Justice Party, to appoint the heads of public TV and radio, as well as civil service directors. The Treasury Minister now has the right to hire and fire the broadcasting chiefs, a role previously handled by a media committee. The European Commission has opened for the first time an inquiry into whether these new Polish laws break EU democracy rules, but within the media community, no one is really optimistic. I spoke to Hannah Liz, who until recently was an anchor for a news program, Panorama, broadcast on Polish public television. She explains that she was branded as an enemy of the state by the Law and Order Party, and she was fired this week.
It was actually quite an interesting talk that I had with my new very brief boss. He actually said that he had no remarks about my professional conduct, no complaints about, I don't know, lack of objectivism or something like that. He just said that I do not fit into the concept of the new national media because, as you probably know, the media are changed from public to national. This is something that they regard as something very important. I mean, law and justice, that should be stressed. So he said, basically, I do not belong there because the winds of change are blowing, and so we have to terminate are a corporation. When I asked him, I said, we both know what's going on and we both know on what grounds I'm being fired. And he says, no, it's nothing personal.
Liz explains that she knew she was going to be fired because her name was on a specific list.
This notorious member of parliament belonging to the Law and Justice Party, her name is Krystyna Pawłowicz, known for several homophobic remarks, who on her Facebook account actually wrote, I think it was last week, the names of the journalists that she thinks should be fired from the public media, or as we call it, re-socialized, which was pretty shocking because I cannot really imagine a politician in a democratic country writing things like this on Facebook. She also stated that the public media are by definition, no such thing as public media, that the public media are by definition government media, because what they should serve is for the government to communicate with the public opinion. So see, they have this idea of public media as in Russia's Putin's Russia, which is pretty shocking even to us journalists who have been witnessing this triumphal march into power of the Law and Justice.
She adds that the simple fact she's talking to me will probably lead her to be called a traitor.
Obviously, journalists here in Poland are asked about what's happening in Poland right here and about the threats to democracy that these people are bringing. So we're being called traitors for that. Traitor, a communist, a lefty, or whatever, because these are labels that are being attached to us right now. I mean, I feel like we're living, this incredibly nutcase history that neither of us anticipated, even knowing of Law and Justice's view on democracy, but I don't think anybody expected this to happen.
Even outlets that are not controlled by the state are worried. Renata Kim works for the Polish edition of Newsweek. She says these laws will hugely affect the way all journalists now need to work.
If you start doing so-called auto-censorship, you start thinking what your boss would like to hear, what you should say or you shouldn't say, what can be said or cannot be said. And this is, when you always fear something, you fear losing your job, you fear being fired, you fear that your boss will come to you and tell you, for a month's time, you won't do any jobs because you're doing your job not properly. And in my personal opinion, when you are a journalist, you shouldn't fear anything, because when you start being afraid, that's the end of your journalism. You have to be brave, and you have to be safe to be brave, because I understand people who have their families, who need money, who need stable jobs, and sometimes in order to keep all of that, they do things they don't want to do, and this is tragic. I think this is the end of journalism, and that's what will happen now.
Reporters Without Borders has issued several warnings. Alexandra Genest is the head of the EU Balkan office with RSF. She says that even if the EU launched this unprecedented probe, the situation in Poland remains quite worrisome.
We won't have any news from the Commission before March, which, no need to say, leaves plenty of time to the current government, the conservative Polish government, to basically strengthen its control of the media, and not only the public media, because they do have many other plans in mind, to reform the media in general. And they call it la repolonisation, which is to make it more Polish, let's say, and more faithful to or loyal to Christian and what they call their own values, basically. So this is not something that is very, we are happy. We welcome the EU, the European Commission move, because once again, it's the first of its kind. But this is not exactly going to change anything on the ground. So this is a good move, but let's say that, with the precedent, the Hungarian precedent, which might have been the reason why actually this mechanism was put in place in 2014, and it's good. The European Commission, the European institution, failed to be firm enough to really change what's going on in Hungary. We see Poland following the path of what's going on in Hungary, basically. So this is not a good news at all.
And this brings us to the end of this week's magazine. Thank you for listening, and join us next week for another edition of International Media.